Well, because of concerns about Iran's nuclear program, the U.S. passed a law in 2012 that excludes Iranian citizens from seeking an education in the U.S. in energy and nuclear power. This week, the University of Massachusetts Amherst banned Iranians from certain science programs in the name of that law. After an outcry, the school backed off its policy, but at least two other colleges still have bans. Fonda Ove is Assistant Vice President of Campus Life at American University and President of NAFSA, that's the Association of International Educators. She works with foreign students, was once one herself from Mali. So, Fanta, what are you hearing from foreign students, especially Iranians, about these bans?
Well, I think it's safe to say that, you know, many of us were surprised about the ban. And the students in particular, I think, are quite concerned because this is one of those examples where there's a ban on a class of citizens from a specific country when it comes to admission policies. And so I think it's safe to say that from the students' perspective, it does create a great deal of anxiety and confusion as well.
Well, as we heard at UMass Amherst, there are also American students who are sharing dorm rooms with these Iranian students who are feeling that their fellow students are being unfairly targeted. But then we found Virginia Commonwealth University. They have on their admissions website, "We regret to inform you that we are not able to admit Iranian citizens in the graduate fields of mechanical and nuclear engineering or in programs that have nuclear content." Rensselaer, a Polytechnic Institute, says on its site, U.S. policy has made it increasingly difficult to accept students from certain embargoed and sanctioned countries, including Iran. And a representative of Rensselaer told us they have no intention of changing their policy anytime soon. But a State Department official told the Boston Globe that current laws don't prohibit Iranians from coming to the U.S., that each application is reviewed. So what's the disconnect here, do you think?
Well, I think this reflects a larger issue of the disconnect between the right hand and the left hand. As folks who work in the field of international education and deeply believe in the value of exchanges, academic exchanges, it is often challenging when you have one aspect of policy that in many ways is about facilitating and understand the values of this work. And then you have conflicting information that I think often then, you know, leads to confusion.
But what about Americans listening who might be saying, well, wait a second, this isn't confusion. This should be the policy. Why should we allow Iranians to come study engineering and potentially go back and work in a nuclear program? Iran's a country that's called for the elimination of Israel. It backs the militant group Hezbollah. It's been an enemy of the U.S. Why should we let young Iranians in?
Well, I can certainly understand some of the perhaps anxiety and also some of the perhaps challenges that some of our counterparts may think about this. And I would like to really say two things. One is that we really do need to understand the political dimensions. And also, more importantly, I think a lot of times there's very little understanding about Iran and in particular about really sort of the people-to-people exchange part. A lot of the students who decide to come from Iran undergo tremendous barriers in order to get to the United States. Everything from the admission process to how you file for a visa to then once you get onto campus. And the majority of these students come with aspirations for a better life.
Well, one of the students from UMass Amherst told Boston Globe that she was banned from education in Iran because she was a leader of a pro-democracy group, a secular group, fighting for academic freedoms. So she sees herself as someone who was coming to the U.S. to help fight a fight back home.
A lot of the students who come from Iran are coming from Iran really, in many instances, with a very different position from perhaps their government. We have some of the best and brightest from Iran who come to study in the United States. And frankly, if given the opportunity, most of them would like to figure out a way to contribute to the United States upon completion of their degree.
Well, we mentioned the Rensselaer website banning Iranian students, but also students from Cuba, Iraq, North Korea, Sudan, Syria. These are sanctioned or embargoed countries. What UMass Amherst is saying now is that it's going to help these students craft their studies so that, in other words, they keep an eye on it. And if there are concerns raised about what the student's goal is, they can then work with the State Department. Do you think that's a good solution? Because some UMass Amherst students are saying they still feel like they'll be under, you know, a magnifying glass.
This idea of a study plan perhaps may be the compromise, but it doesn't, I think, solve the real issue. And the real issue is that it really ultimately belongs to the government to, in many ways, enforce these policies and these regulations. And for the government itself to have made a statement that they look at these issues on a case-by-case basis, I think speaks volumes.
So are you saying the schools should then let them just have their studies because they've already been screened?
That's absolutely the case. Schools really should be focusing on the value of academic learning.
Yeah. Fonda Av, Assistant Vice President of Campus Life at American University, but also President of NAFSA, the Association of International Educators. She originally was from Mali. Fonda, thanks for speaking with us.
Thank you, Robin, for this opportunity.